I've enjoyed our Sunday night series so far. We're getting a little bit closer to the end here. There's only 12 chapters, and probably only about another 4 different messages out of the series. But as we're talking about this year, is rising up and building. We're talking about building our spiritual lives. First 6 chapters of the book talked about building the walls. The last 6 chapters of the book talks about building people. And it's important to understand that we need to take time to build up our own spiritual lives, or Christian lives. For those that are in the adult Sunday school class, we've been talking about building upon the foundation, working on the things that only God sees. And we talked about last week about the relationship with Jesus Christ, how we need to build upon that. Then today we talked about trusting in God. And it's taking time to be able to build up our own Christian lives. Truth of the matter is we are really busy people. And it's easy not to skip over those things, you know. Like they talked about having a little talk with Jesus. It's easy to just not take time to pray. It's easy to say, okay, I know I'm supposed to read my Bible. I know I'm supposed to memorize. I know I'm supposed to meditate. You know what? It's just not, just don't have time. It's like the little saying used to be, if you're too busy not to pray, you're too busy. If we don't take time, and it's one of the dangers of the world that we live in today, is if we don't take time to work on our spiritual lives, we're going to crumble. We're going to fall. When the world turns our world upside down, we're not going to be like Paul and Silas this morning singing. Instead, we're going to be moaning, and we're going to fall over, and we're going to become weak in our Christian lives. So tonight's message is evidences of the building project. Evidences of the building project. Some of you know what, they're building a deck out back. If you went to my house, you could see evidences of it. There's piles of wood laying around. There's probably some tools that if you went there during a week, you would see some trucks back there and things like that. There's evidences that something is going. And the first day there was holes. The next day there was posts in the holes. And you know, there's evidences that somebody's doing something and somebody's doing some work. And if it's the month of August now, and we've gone through over half the year now, and there should be some evidences in our lives, if we're really trying to work on our spiritual lives. Remember what our goal was for this year, is to be a little stronger spiritually than we were at the beginning of the year. So if we're trying to work on this, there should be some evidences. There should be some fruits. There should be some things in our lives that we see that God is working and God has changed. And in the book of Nehemiah, we learned last week, the people came, and like I said, they went up to the priest and said, can you read us the Bible? Can you read us the Word of God? And it was wonderful. We looked at that last week, how they listened to the Word of God. They stood for hours. Not only did they not have cushion pews, they actually stood up for hours. The only time they weren't standing is when they were on their face before God, because they were praying to God and worshiping God. And we saw how they began, that there was a tremendous effect to it, and how God broke into their hearts and opened their hearts, and they started being receptive and attentive, and how they began to cry. And they said, look, no, don't mourn, don't weep. You have the truth now. This is a day of rejoicing. This is a day of praising. And so we come to this spot now, we're going to see some of the evidence in their lives. It wasn't just, hey, we're going to put this on for a show. We're going to take one day because we're thankful God let us build the wall. God let us build the temple. We're really thankful. We're really blessed. So we're going to take one day and give him a token day and say, okay, this is God's day. We'll worship him there. No. These people have evidences in their life. And tonight we're going to look at some of the evidences. And I think these are 3 things. If we are truly working on our spiritual lives, these are 3 evidences that will be in our lives too. Let's go ahead and pick up and start reading in Nehemiah chapter number 8. Once again, remember, they had not been very familiar with the law. They came with Ezra. They gave Ezra. They said, Ezra, please read the book to us. They began reading. And it says in verse number 14, something they found while they were reading. They saw something that they was not doing. And they said, God's word says we should do this, so we're going to do this. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 14, and they found written in the law, which the Lord God had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. Now, to give you a little bit of a background about this is the Feast of Tabernacles. What God asked them to do was to come out of their homes and live like they used to in the wilderness. They used to travel in booths or hut type thing. So pretty much they had this house that was sitting there. It was a nice house. And they said, for 1 week out of the year, we want you to go out and we want you to live the same way they used to do in the wilderness. And he says, we want you to do this so you can remember what God did for you when they brought you out of the land of Egypt. Let's keep on going. Verse 15. And that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. And this is amazing. You can tell that this is an evidence here. They are obeying. And it says, so the people went forth. They're saying, we don't do this. We learned earlier, it was the 7th month. It was about the right time. They said, we don't do this. God's word says we're supposed to do this, so let's do this. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, everyone upon the roof of this roof of his house and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the street of the water gate and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Jeshua, or we would know Joshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. I think that's pretty cool. They actually left their house. They went out and they did this and they were happy about it. I don't know about you, but some people like to go camping, but it's not my favorite thing in the world. Now, if we go somewhere else and go camping, that's one thing. Sometimes my boys, when they were younger, my wife and boys would set up the tent outside, and they would say, don't you want to come sleep outside with us? No. There's a house 10 feet away. It's got a comfortable bed. It's got air conditioning. It's got all the modern conveniences. No. Now, if we want to go somewhere and have a productive reason to do it, yes. But, you know, they had this thing. It was right next to their house. They went out into the street and put it there. But you see, it's kind of neat. They were very great gladness. You know, their heart was right. This was an evidence. This is something that was happening. In their hearts, something that was happening. There was an evidence in their spiritual lives. Something was going on. Verse 18. Also, day by day, from the first day until the last day. I get that. That's 7 weeks. 7 days, excuse me. He read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days. On the 8th day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. So for 7 days, once again, they listened to the Bible. They listened to the preaching of the word of God. Chapter number 9, verses 1 through 3, you see some more evidences. Now on the 20th and 4th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting. So this was a different time period. They had been hearing the word of God over and over, that God began to work in their hearts, and they were assembled with fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. Another 1/4 part of the day they confess and worship the Lord their God. There, we're going to take this passage of scripture and we're going to show you 3 different things that shows evidences the building project was working. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the people that are here tonight. Lord, I know each one of us has special needs. Lord, there's someone here today that does not know you as Savior. Lord, I pray they come to a saving knowledge of you. Lord, there's some people here that need to be encouraged. Lord, I pray you encourage them tonight that they're headed in the right direction. Lord, there's some people here tonight that need to be rebuked or reminded of some truths that they're not following. Lord, I pray they'd be receptive of that. Lord, I pray that you just take the word of God tonight, Lord, and use me to be able to just be a blessing to the people that are here. Lord, we want to hear from you. We need to hear from you. That's why we're here. We're excited about the upcoming week, but Lord, help us to focus on what your word says tonight. Help us to have evidences that you are working in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, here's the question for tonight. Is God working in your heart? Now, I know it's easy to look around and say, okay, is God working in that person's heart? Is God working in that heart? That's not it. Not even asking if God's working in your family's life. I'm not even asking if God's working in your career. God's working. The question for you tonight is, God working in your heart? Is there evidences of growth since the beginning of the year? Have you seen, are you rising up and building? Have you been taking advantage of the things that God has put in your heart and mind? First thing I want you to see, the evidences of the building process is working is a remembrance of the things of God. A remembrance of the things of God. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? That doesn't sound like it's very evident. You said obedience. No, no, no. Here's the thing. When God's working in your heart, I really believe you're going to be thankful. I don't know about you, but you sometimes see somebody's heart gets right. You see somebody get right with God. Somebody has revival in their heart. You know what they're going to be? They're going to be thankful. They're going to be thankful because of what God's done for them. I've never met a person that was right with God and the Spirit filled and all they could do was complain. I've met a lot of carnal people who complain. I've met a lot of carnal people who aren't thankful for the things that God has already done in their lives. But in all reality, if you really truly want to see evidence, if you want to have a litmus test for yourself, am I building my life? Am I really working on my spiritual life? Am I thankful? Do I remember the things of God? And that's what happens. That's, you say, Pastor, these people went out and lived in booths or hut-type style structures. Why in the world would do that? Why in the world would God ask them to do that? Well, he tells us in Leviticus. In Leviticus 23:34, he said this, speaking unto the children of Israel, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacle for 7 days unto the Lord. So what's his purpose? And here it is, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths. When I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I am the Lord your God. He says, I don't want any of you to forget it. I want you to teach this to your kids, and I want this to be a feast every single year. I don't want anybody to forget that you were in the land of Egypt, you were in bondage, and I brought you out. And I want you to pass this down from generation to generation to generation so they will always know, they will always be thankful that they're not living in Egypt anymore. Now, most of us know that many times in the Bible, if not all times, Egypt is a picture of the world. It's a picture of sin. And it's also something when we remember what God has done for us, we will be thankful. We think about what do we do here as a remembrance time. We do what we call the Lord's Supper, the communion. What's the purpose of that? It's to take time and remember and just have our hearts overwhelmed and be thankful that Jesus Christ died and he shed his blood and his body was broken for us. Praise the Lord. That's a time of remembrance. That's when we can be excited. And I've never really met someone who was living for God and on fire for God that was not thankful. It's an evidence here. If you have somebody who is complaining and someone who is griping and someone who, and don't get me wrong, people do that. I do that at times. Sometimes I like to throw myself a pity party. I don't stay in it very long, but sometimes I just, God-wise, and you know what you do? You take it to prayer. Like Paul and Silas this morning, they took it to prayer. And in the end, they end up praising. Why is that? Because I believe they remembered the things that God had done. You know, he wanted to remind them. And it's amazing. If you go to talk about Joshua, the son of Nun, talked about just a few generations later, it says they knew not God. They had forgotten about God. They had forgotten the things. And it's one of the saddest verses. There's a generation that came on the scene that knew not God. It's one of the saddest verses in all the Bible. It's not a direct quote. But you know what it is? It tells us. They stopped doing that feast. They stopped remembering. You know what happened? It didn't matter anymore. And it wasn't until, you know, they went through the David's times and they went through the Solomon times. They went through all these other times. And it says it wasn't since the day of Joshua. It's amazing that no one had made such a big deal of this feast before then. I want to encourage you tonight. If you want to say, okay, have I gotten any stronger in my Christian life? Is this rebuilding process working? Are we being thankful? Revival is always accompanied by a renewal of thanksgiving to God. Carnality is always enhanced by an unthankful heart. You know, there is just going to have to be a time and a place where we just say, I need to stop and I just need to thank God for all the things he's done. We can go from our families and we can talk about, I'm thankful for my family, I'm thankful for salvation, I'm thankful for my church family. And we can make a long list of things we're thankful for. And it's an evidence. God's working in our hearts when we can be thankful for the things he's given us. And there's some times when we just got to say, Lord, I'm thankful for, because I know what I would be if I was not a Christian. Lord, I know what you saved me from. Abraham Lincoln, he was calling for a national day of prayer and humility. He said this. I found it interesting. I thought you'd enjoy it. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nations have ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom or virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and persevering grace. Too proud to say that, to pray to God, to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. You know what? It's an amazing thought there, but if that was true back then, how much more is it true today? I mean, it's amazing when all of our founding fathers and presidents talk about God and they're religious many times. People say that, oh, America wasn't built on a Christian nation. It's when people say things like that and have a national day, and it was a national day, I think it was April 30th, when they had a day of fasting and praying and just stopping work to have a day where they would just remember God. They were living in like pop-up tents out on their patio, but they were excited. Why is that? It's because their hearts were right with God. It's evidence here. It's just an evidence in their life. They wanted to see this and know this, and God worked in their hearts, and they said, you know what? We need to do what God says. And they were joyful about it. Second thing I want you to see, not only is it remembering the things of God, the second thing is there's a renewal of the spiritual man. A renewal of the spiritual man. You say, okay, Pastor, they were thankful, blah, blah, blah. It's easy to be thankful. I'm thankful all the time. Well, that's probably not true, but it's a little bit harder to live in a state of thanksgiving. But let's see some of the other things that are evidences. So we see in verse number 18, there was a reading of God's word all the way throughout the week for 7 days. Now it says, now on the 20th and 4th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled. Now listen to these things, that with what? Fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and iniquities unto their other fathers. So you say, well, why are they fasting? Why are they separating themselves? Why are they confessing their sins? I honestly believe it's a direct result of the word of God. God's word was getting in their heart. God's word was getting in their mind. It was like a cleansing agent. It was like water. It was washing away. And God was just doing something special through their heart. The Bible says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word was causing a difference. That was evident. They saw it, they heard it, and they began to be sorrowful for their sins. They began to cry out to God. They began talking about these things and doing these things. You say, Pastor, why don't we see these things happening in our day? Why don't we see these things happening in our time? Why don't we see more people fasting? Why don't we see more people separating? Why don't we see more people confessing their sins and getting right with God and having a right heart? I believe it's because it's a lack of Bible preaching. Or listening to Bible preaching. And we have dramas, and we have this, and we have that. And there's nothing wrong with other methods, but nothing can ever replace the preaching of the Word of God. It's important that we get that and understand that. So I want you to see the three things they did. First thing I want you to think about is the fasting. Fasting expresses something to God. When you're willing to take away certain things, basic, normal needs, daily things, and say, you know what? Sometimes it's pleasurable things. Sometimes it's just fasting and not eating and drinking. You're trying to express something to God. You're showing God, I'm serious about this. I'm either serious about the sin that I'm dealing with. I'm serious about your word. I'm serious about what I've been praying about. I think it's here they're expressing their sorrow and their grief of their sin. I think when they heard the law, they realized that they were far from God. And when they were far from God, they repented. They fasted in sackcloth and ashes, which was a sign that there was something wrong inside. And they began to beg God, and they began to plead with God. It shows their seriousness. They wanted God to speak to their hearts. They wanted God to clean up their hearts and God to clean up their lives. What an evidence is when we take our spiritual life serious enough and says, you know what, I am going to not do this over here so I can hear from God. I'm going to clear out these things. I'm not going to do these things because hearing from God is more important than anything else, because I believe the book and I believe this word, and it's an evidence in my Christian life. Also, you see, not only were they fasting, you also see here, it continues on here, right here in verse number 2, it says, and the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers. Now, it's kind of interesting here. They said they separated from strangers. be honest with you, some of you might be sitting next to somebody and thinking, maybe I need to separate it from them because they're kind of strange. I don't know. There's a few people, but that's not what they're talking about here, obviously. The strangers talking about here is that they were separated from people who did not know God. People from other countries. Maybe people who had even come into Jerusalem that were from other countries that did not become part of Judaism. They did not believe in the one true God. They did not believe and have the same faith. And you know what? And the Bible talks about this. The Bible talks about separation. The Bible talks about how different people that do not believe in the same God and do not have the same faith that you have, these are people that you should separate from. Strangers here, they were believing in different God. And I want to encourage you today, our closest friends should be people who we share our faith with. Our closest friends are people who should be drawing us closer to God, not pushing us farther away. Our closest friends should be people who are trying to encourage us in our walk. And I think the greatest friend that we can have is someone who comes alongside of us and is a fellow helper of the truth and try to help us in our walk with God. And it doesn't matter if you have the same interests. It doesn't matter if you have the same talents. It doesn't matter. You have a commonality. You have a fellowship around Jesus Christ. And when that person can come alongside and help you in your Christian walk, that's the person you want to be around. That's the person you want to spend time with. And that's what, when God's word was getting in these people's hearts, their hearts were broken. They were weeping. They said, I want to be thankful. I want to remember the things that God told me to do. And then you see what happens next. They begin fasting. And as God's word continues, you know, they get serious with God. They said, God, I'm willing not to do these things just so I can hear from you. And one of the first things they said, he says, I want you to separate. I want you to stay. These people cannot be your close personal friends. These are people who, yes, you're not going to be rude with somebody. You're not going to be angry with somebody. You're not going to be mean to someone. But the word of God teaches us. He says it in his word. He says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? He also says a few verses later in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You know, some people say, you know, fasting, separation, those things are foolishness. Those things are old times. No, you see what happens here. God's word gets in them. They fast and they seek God. And God says, look, these people are hurting you. These people aren't encouraging you in your walk. These people are people you need to separate from and not spend so much time with. You know, what should we do? We should try to reach people. We should try to win them to Christ. We should try to bring them to Christ. But they shouldn't be the ones influencing us. They shouldn't be the ones telling us what we should do and should not do. They should not be the ones we run to and turn to when there's trials and turmoils, because they don't believe like we do. They don't have the Spirit of God living in them. And when the Spirit of God's not living in them, they're not going to be able to give the advice that you need to hear from the Word of God. And with God's help, he's saying here, a person who says that fasting and separation is something that's old school, old time, they want to keep one foot in the world and they want to keep one foot in the church. That's not what these people are doing. These people want to hear from God. They're serious about it. This is their Christian life. This is their walk with God. And you want evidence that your walk is getting stronger and better? It's going to be a person who takes it seriously. A person who's willing to separate because, you know, this is God's word. This is the book. I'm going to believe it. Next thing he says in verse number 3 is confession of sins. Actually, at the end of verse number 2, I'm sorry. It says, and stood and confessed their sins and iniquities of their fathers. Another way that our building projects is going to work is, you know, as we get closer to God. And I'm telling you, as we become thankful, we remember things, we get closer to God, and we want to live for Him, and we want to do things. We hear the Word of God on a regular basis. We keep on hearing preaching and teaching, and we keep on letting the Word of God penetrate into our heart, and it keeps on working in us. It keeps on cleaning us up, and as we get cleaned up, we see how far we are from God, and we begin to fast. We begin to seek after God. We begin separating from some different entertainment or separating from some different relationships that have been causing us to grow farther from God. And then we get to the spot and we see these things and say, you know what, there's something that's between me and God, and I'm going to confess that to God. That means I'm going to agree with God. I'm going to say that I believe the same way that God believes. When God's word says this, I believe that. And that's what confession of sin is. When God reveals something to you and say, you know what? I wasn't very thankful. We go to God and say, you know what, Lord? I wasn't very thankful then. Lord, I shouldn't have said that because your word says I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't look at that because your word says I shouldn't look at it. And that's what these people are doing. Their hearts are getting right. Their hearts are getting cleansed. And they get to the spot and they begin to confess their sins to God. Charles Finney, I believe, was the one that wrote the quote, and there was a number of different people had made different changes to it, but they said, if you really want to get right with God, you know, draw a circle around you and say, Lord, I want to get everyone in this circle to get right with God. And then just begin confessing your sins. Begin talking to God. We can't worry about confessing somebody else's sin. I can't worry about confessing Mr. Paul's sin. You can imagine how long that would take to have to confess his sins? It take longer for me, I know that, but it's talking about, and Gypsy Smith talked about, if you really want revival, is to take that chalk and then kneel down and say, Lord, I'm not getting up until you can bring revival in my heart, and bring revival in my life. Are we serious like that? Not many of us. Why is that? It's because, first of all, we forget to be thankful and grateful for the things that God's done for us. He redeemed us from our sins. That is enough. We should be able to live on that for the rest of our lives. But then he adds on the Holy Ghost. He adds in the Word of God. He adds in prayer. He adds in our fellowship of friends and our church family. I mean, he gives us so much to be thankful for. But then we become serious. They fasted. They separated. And then you see that they also confessed their sins. It's a process. God's going to work on your heart for a little while about one thing, and once one thing gets up, there's something else that comes up, and then there's something else that comes up. It's a continual process of becoming like Jesus Christ. The third thing, not only is there remembrance, not only is there renewal, but you see there's reading. Look what it says in verse number 3. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, another 1/4 part they confessed, and worship the Lord their God. Now, I'm not the smartest guy. I've told you that before. But to me, you know, over there, Ezra was reading the book. The Levites are reading the book. But it seems like they stood up in their place that maybe now they're reading in the book. But no matter what it is, they're reading the Word of God. This is evidence of the building project. This is evidence. Hey, they're getting it. They want more of the Bible. They want more of the Word of God. They're not happy and satisfied with just the one day a week. They're not just happy and satisfied with the 7 days. They're not happy with just the feast. They want more of the Bible. They want more of the Word of God. They want to let the Word of God continue to work. That is an evidence that God is working in your heart. I think it's amazing that when a person's heart is right with God, they're going to say, I want to know what's in this book. Tell me what's in this book. Sometimes when you see a person really, truly get saved and they get it, they're like, okay, I'm excited. What chapter of the Bible should I start reading? What book of the Bible should I start reading? What does the Bible say about this? And what does the Bible say about that? It's not that the church, the pastor says that you need to read. It's not the fact that church puts out a schedule. It's not the fact that you feel guilty if you don't do it. No. It's the fact that you have a desire for the Word of God. It's sort of like as the Bible talks about, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Sometimes we've heard babies that will cry and when they want their food and they don't know sometimes how to be patient. They haven't been taught etiquette yet. They will scream until they get their way. And that's what these people are doing. They're saying, I need the Bible. I need the Word of God. It needs to get in my heart. I don't care what man says. I want to hear what the Bible has to say. And when we are not right with God, we're not going to have that desire. When we are right with God, we're going to want to know what this book says. We're going to say, okay, what does the Bible say? But when we're not right with God, we're going to take it and leave it. I want to encourage you, the Bible does so much to our hearts. The Bible can protect us from not sinning. I know sometimes in my life I get overwhelmed with, you know, I'm a sinner. Saved by grace, but you know, there's things that I wish I didn't think. There's things I wish I didn't say. Things I wish that, and I tell God, I don't want to sin. God, I want to live. Lord, help me out here. I need some guidance. And it comes back to His Word. And his word, it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And you know, what's the Bible that makes a difference? If I truly want to be right with God, if I truly don't want to struggle with sin, if I truly want to have a walk with God that's inhibited from the sins of this life and the worries of this world, I'm going to put the word of God in me. And I'm not because of the fact I want to mark it off a box, not because of the fact my wife tells me I should do it or my sons because I want them to see me doing it. It's because God has made a difference in my life. There's an evidence. There's a hunger and thirsting. The word of God also strengthens you. The Bible says in Psalms 119, 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto my word. And if David was saying there, look, my soul was melting, I am overwhelmed, I'm heavy, strengthen me with your word. You know, sometimes when people say, I can't get to church anymore, or I can't do this anymore, I can't, you know what they're putting on their head? I haven't read my Bible today. I haven't read my Bible this week. I haven't read my Bible this month. It's because the Word of God gives us strength. The Word of God keeps us from sin. And I'm not, once again, you can read a few lines and not let it make a difference in your world, but you can read a few lines and let God work in your heart. The Word of God will give you direction. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know what? It's the word of God. It gives us light. It gives us direction. It first of all takes us to Jesus Christ. It first of all shows us that we're a sinner in need of a Savior. And then it puts us on that pathway of how to live and how we're supposed to live. I tell you, in the day and time we live at, there's so much wickedness in this world. We don't know which way we should go. People are living in immorality. People are lying and people are cheating. And, you know, those are pretty much our political leaders, much less the things that happen in the church house. You know, there is so much garbage in the world that we need God's word to give us light. And that's what happened to these people. They first got thankful. They remember what God did. And they said, if God did that for me, I want more of God. And they continue to let the word of God keep on penetrating. So they begin fasting. He says, look, I'm far from God. I need God's help. There's more to this relationship than what I have put in. And then they begin to separate. And then they begin to confess their sins. And then they say, we need more of the Bible. We want more of God. Sin is everywhere. We need God's light. I want you to see at the end here, it says that they confess, but that last phrase, worship the Lord their God. I'll close with this thought. Or I might close with this thought. So sometimes you say, preachers lie. They says, almost finished, last point, and then 10 points later. I think this is going to be the last thought. How about that? So they worship God. Now, what does worship mean? It means that they're worthy. That we say God is worth our attention. And you know what? So many times people put this idea of worship and they put on a show and they put on some type of energy driven to try to appeal something or not. But you know what real worship is valuing God, saying God is worthy. Where do you learn that from? You're learning from the book. This is what worth is. The people who love God will love his word. It is the word of God that tells us the value of God. It's the word of God that tells us that for God to love the world. It's the word of God that teaches us in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. It's the word of God that tells us that his thoughts are thoughts of peace, not thoughts of evil for us. It's his book that says his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. It's in this book we learn about God and we learn that he is worthy. And this is what world worship is when we see who God is and when we see who we are, and we humbly say, I need more of God and less of me. Tonight, you think about it. We want evidence. We want to grow as Christians. At least that should be our desire. It should be in our heart. We want to rise up. We want to build. We want to strengthen our lives today, this year, more than we did any other year maybe in our Christian walk. But here by month number 8 starting, we should see some evidences. We should see some type of change. We should see something going on that shows, you know what? There has been some growth over here. You know what? My attitude has changed about this. You know what? I have a greater desire to pray, or I have a greater desire for God's word. In these people's lives, there was evidence. There was evidence of remembrance. And I tell you, being thankful is something that is a surefire sign, a genuine heart thankful attitude. Can some people make be hypocritical about it? Yes, they can. One thing you cannot hide is an unthankful spirit. And if you're unthankful, that means that that's not an evidence that God's working and building in your life. Second thing is that they had the renewal of the spiritual man. They saw the need. They fasted, they separated, and they confessed. The third thing is they read the Bible. They didn't read the Bible because somebody said you have to. Didn't read the Bible because we wanted to mark the box. We didn't. Once again, I know those things are good. Those things are things that encourage us to get there. But the Bible needs to cleanse us and work in our hearts and work in our lives. It can and it will. And this is a beautiful example of some people who hadn't connected with the Bible for a long time. They got it and they began connecting and they began connecting and they began connecting. And what happens? Their life is changed. Tonight, let the Bible change your life. Is there evidences of God's working in your life? Not in somebody else's life, but in your life. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.